Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm into my fifth week of teaching on how to receive God's best. That's the title of a brand new CD album that I have. It's also available on DVD. And this is going to be my last week to teach on this. I've already said some powerful things, and this week I'm just talking about that God's Word equals God's blessing. The point that I'm making is that everything that was written in the Bible was God-breathed. It came out of His mouth. That's what a blessing is God-spoken favor. And everything, every positive thing spoken about us in this Word, it came out of His mouth. It has the potential to create absolute supernatural results in your life. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says you have to mix it with faith to release the power that's in the Word. And you have to speak it out of your mouth, Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And so everything that is written in here that's positive about us is a blessing from God. It could supernaturally transform your life, but you've got to believe it and then go to speaking it out of your mouth. And so I started yesterday talking out of Isaiah chapter 54, that this is some of the result of the atonement that Jesus made for us. Isaiah 53 is one of the classic passages of Scripture about Jesus becoming the Lamb and dying for us, and by His stripes we were healed. He bore our sorrows, carried our griefs, and etc. And so Isaiah 54 are the blessings, the results of what Jesus did. All you've got to do is take this and say, this is what God spoke to Isaiah. Isaiah wrote it down. So this is God-breathed blessings. All I have to do is believe these things and then confess it with my mouth and believe it in my heart, and these things will come to pass in my life. Boy, this is powerful. And so here are some other things. In Isaiah chapter 54 and in verse 9, it says, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee." Man, that is one powerful scripture. And yet most people, they don't seem to be able to take this and meditate on it and get these truths. I just want to break this down and say some things here. In verse 9, it says, "This is as the waters of Noah unto me." What's he talking about here? This is talking about the covenant. There were two types of covenant in the Bible. One was called a theke, that's the Hebrew word, and then a diatheke, I'm not a Greek and Hebrew scholar. This may be Greek. I'm not sure if that word theke comes from the Greek or the Hebrew. But anyway, in the Bible, there is a covenant that's called a unconditional covenant, and then there is a conditional covenant. There were two types of covenant. And the reason that this is important is because the covenant that God made with Noah after he had destroyed the earth with the flood, the Lord said that he repented that he had done this. And he swore by himself and says, "I will never again destroy the earth with the flood." And he took the bow that was in heaven, the glory that was around the throne, what we call a rainbow. And he said, "I will place it in the sky every time you see a storm come over, and that will be my token to you that I'll never again destroy the earth with the flood." Now, the reason this is significant is because it was an unconditional covenant. If God would have said, "As long as the human race never ticks me off again, as long as they never get as bad as it was during the time of Noah, then I'll never destroy the earth with a flood." See, that would have been a conditional covenant based on us doing something. But the covenant that God made with Noah was unconditional. He put no stipulations on it. He basically was saying that it doesn't matter how bad the human race gets, I'll never again destroy the earth with a flood. No conditions, no restrictions, no fine print. Now, that's important because right here he's saying, this is like the covenant I made with Noah. In other words, this isn't a conditional covenant. This is an unconditional covenant. Here God is speaking a blessing out of His mouth about us that has zero conditions on it. Man, this is powerful if you understand this. See, most people look at the promises of God and they think, oh yes, this is what God can do, but I'm not worthy. I haven't lived up to it, therefore I can't claim this. It won't work in my life. And they just completely disannul the promises of God because they don't feel worthy. This is saying that this is not based on your worthiness. That has nothing to do with your goodness. This is just one of the blessings that God has spoken over us as a result of what Jesus came to do. So going back to Isaiah 54:9, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. This is unconditional. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. That is nearly too good to be true. This is saying that God is making an unconditional promise to us that He is never, ever going to be angry with you or rebuke you. Period. End of sentence. No other qualifications. God is never mad at you. You know, there are people all over the world watching this program, and people are thinking, oh, that can't be true, because religion teaches us all of the time that God is constantly mad at us. And there are two extremes. One extreme, there are some religious people that believe that God holds the slightest little thing against us, and that after you get born again, if you were to sin, you would totally lose your salvation. And if you died before you got that sin confessed, you would die and go to hell, even though you could have been born again for 40 years, mess up one time, get in a car wreck, and if you hadn't confessed that, you'd go to hell. Now, that's an extreme, but a lesser interpretation, but the exact same principle is that, oh, well, you won't lose your salvation, but God won't fellowship with you. God won't answer your prayers. You can't have the joy of the Lord. God's not going to bless you. There's nothing good going to happen in your life if you have a sin in your life that you haven't dealt with. That's the exact same thing as this extreme over here that most religious people reject, but they will accept a lesser consequence, but it's the exact same principle. In other words, God is still holding your sins against you, but just to either to a huge degree or to a lesser degree. But the Scripture here is saying that here's the benefit of what Jesus came to do, that God would never be angry with us nor rebuke us. This is what the Bible says, not what religion says, but it's what the Bible says. This is one of the blessings. God isn't angry at you. And somebody say, oh, now wait a minute, I know He is. I did this. I went out and did something I wasn't supposed to do, and I just felt miserable. You'll hear people get up in church and talk about this and say that I wasn't tithing, or I wasn't praying, or I wasn't doing something, and God just made me miserable. God wouldn't leave me alone, and my washing machine broke down, and my car broke down, and everything was happening. God was trying to get my attention. And finally, I stand here and I repent, and from now on I'm going to pay my tithes, or I'm going to study the Word, or whatever. And people will clap and think, oh, what a great testimony. That's a terrible testimony. For one thing, to think that you have to be beaten into subjection is not a good testimony. Plus, God is not the one that's making your car break down and making your washing machine not work and that's causing you miserableness. You know, I wished I had time to teach on this. I've got an entire series that goes into all of these things. But over in 1 John chapter 3, it talks about if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Your heart can condemn you. Your conscience condemns you. And most of us just think that that's God, but it's not. It's your own conscience. And of course, Satan will take that conscience and pervert it. Well, I'm saying some things right here that just need so much explanation. And I just haven't got time to do it. You know, I've got a tape series that's entitled The Positive Ministry of the Holy Spirit that goes into... There are five teachings that talk about this, and it's based on John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, talking about that God only convicts of one sin. The Holy Spirit will only reprove you of one thing, and that's the sin of not believing on Jesus. He doesn't convict you of all of these individual things. All of those individual things are just evidence and proof that you weren't believing on Jesus. You aren't truly trusting Him. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a positive ministry that always is bringing you back to relationship with Jesus, not condemning you over every individual thing that you do. It's your own conscience that is condemning you. And people have attributed this to God. People have blamed the Holy Spirit and said it's the Holy Spirit that makes you miserable. He doesn't. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, not the Afflicter. He's not there to hurt you and to beat you down. He's always edifying you and encouraging you. I'm aware that what I've said right here is completely opposite to what the vast majority of religion is saying. I'm aware of that. Some people think, do you realize what you're saying? I realize exactly what I'm saying, and I'll stand by it. I believe it's the Word of God. It is not God that's condemning you. According to this verse, it's an unconditional covenant that Jesus paid for all of your sins. You know, here's another major truth I'm saying right here, and I hadn't got time to explain this, but I've got a tape set that's entitled Redemption that will go into this in great detail. But all of your sins, past, present, and even future tense sins, have been forgiven. God didn't only forgive you of sins up until the point that you made Jesus your Lord, but He forgave you of all of the sins you would ever commit, so that this verse where it says He will not just did not, does not, but will not ever be angry with you nor rebuke you. This is absolutely true. God is not angry at you. Some people think, how could that be? Look what I did. I'm wrong. Well, the answer to this is another teaching that I hadn't got time to go into, but I've got another series entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. And Spirit, Soul, and Body talks about that it's the spirit part of you that got changed, and it's completely brand new. It's perfect. It's pure. Then immediately it's sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13, and John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means that God relates to you spirit to spirit. He's not looking at your physical actions and your mind and the corrupt thoughts and the fear and the doubt and the unbelief and your actions. He's looking at your spirit. And if you've been born again, you're a new creature. You have a new spirit. And therefore, God can look at you and He is never angry with you. He will never rebuke you. Boy, this is nearly too good to be true. This is completely contrary to what most of religion is saying today. But this is what the Bible says. This is a blessing that is spoken over you. And you could walk in this. You could take this, mix it with faith, and go to speaking it over yourself and get free from all of the guilt and the condemnation. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, it's talking about that if there could have been a perfect sacrifice, then we should have had no more conscience of sin. Well, under the Old Testament, there wasn't a perfect sacrifice, but Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. So now, one of the benefits of New Testament Christianity is that you should have no more sin consciousness. That sounds impossible. Most religious people are constantly sin conscious. You come before the Lord and you just start mentioning everything you've done wrong. You think that if you mention them first, maybe God won't mention them. But if you come in and if you don't repent of every single thing, boy, God's going to get you. There's going to be punishment, maybe total rejection or a lesser punishment, not fellowshipping with you, not answering your prayer, not giving you joy and peace or whatever. But that's not true. God is never angry with you. He's not going to rebuke you. God loves you just the way you are. Now, God loves you so much, He doesn't want you to stay the way you are, and He will show you things in your life that need to change, but never for the purpose of condemning you, never for the purpose of rejection, never out of anger, but instead, it's always positive to draw you up to a better level, to say, don't do this. The devil's going to eat your lunch and pop the bag if you go out and do this. He will try and get you to do the right thing, but it's not punitive. His correction isn't punitive. It's always for the purpose of making you better. He is not angry with you, nor will he rebuke you. I know many of you are thinking, that just sounds too good to be true. Well, that's the gospel. The gospel is nearly too good to be true news. And look at this in verse 10. It just amplifies on this. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. So he had already said in the previous verse that he had made an unconditional covenant. He is never going to be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Once you get born again, once you get in Christ and become a new person, the wrath of God is gone. The anger of God is gone. And the mountains are going to depart before this covenant of peace that he has made with us departs. Man, that is a strong statement. You know, some of you live in places that you can't see mountains. But I live on a mountain. When I look out my windows of my house, there's Pikes Peak, 14,000, I think, 310 feet. I see mountains. As I was driving into the office today, I was thinking about this very scripture. And I was looking, I was driving through the mountains. I have to go through a pass to get down into Colorado Springs. I'm at 9,000 feet elevation. Colorado Springs is 6,000. I had to drive through the mountains, and I was looking at the mountains and thinking, as long as the mountains are there, then according to this verse, God's covenant of peace has not ended. He says that the mountains will depart before his covenant of peace ends. So you may not be able to see a mountain, but take it from me, they're still here. As long as the mountains and the hills are still here, then God's promise that he will never be angry with you nor rebuke you, and he is going to extend peace towards you and not anger and not punishment. That covenant is still in his effect as long as the mountains and the hills are still here, and they are. Man, that's powerful. You know what some of you need to do? Most of us, go around with a sin consciousness. Just thinking, oh God, I know that you're good and I know you have power and I know you can do anything, but will you do it for me? Because I'm not worthy. I've failed here. I haven't lived up to this. And we just go around with this sin consciousness, which according to Hebrews 10:2, you should have no more conscience of sin. You know what you need to do? You need to take these verses, Isaiah 54, verses 9 and 10. And you need to mix it with faith and then go to speaking out of your mouth that I have an unconditional covenant with God. He will never be angry with me. He will never rebuke me. The mountains and the hills are going to depart before his covenant of peace towards me leaves. God is friendly towards me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he has reconciled me unto himself. The word reconcile means to bring into harmony, to make friendly. God is my friend. God isn't mad at me. You need to take these verses and go to speaking these things over yourself. You know, when I first got hold of these truths, I was in the Baptist church, and I'm not against the Baptist. Man, I got born again in the Baptist church, and I praise God for that. I am not against the Baptist at all. But I am saying that they do not preach what I'm preaching right here. The Baptists believe that your sins still are held against you, and they don't preach that you lose your salvation every time you sin, but they preach that you lose the benefits of much of your salvation. You can't get an answered prayer. God won't fellowship with you. He's displeased with you. He might cause something bad to happen to you to try and bring you back to a place of repentance. And that is not what the Word of God teaches. And so when I first saw these things, I had this sin consciousness so grained into me that I just couldn't totally get it. Even though I saw it, I had trouble with it. And what I did, I went and looked in a mirror and I began to quote these exact verses. I took these exact scriptures. And I would look at myself eyeball to eyeball and I'd say, Andrew, God has made an unconditional covenant with you. that He will never rebuke you or be angry. God isn't angry with you. God is not the one that's rebuking you. It's your own conscience. I was talking to myself. It is my own conscience that is making me feel condemned and unworthy. It is not God. This sense of unworthiness is not from God. And I'd preach it to myself. And then I'd say that the mountains and hills will depart before God's covenant of peace will ever leave me. God is now at peace with me. I am reconciled unto God. I would say these things. You know what I was doing? I was taking the blessing that God spoke to Isaiah, that He wrote down in His Word, and I was taking those and I was mixing it with faith and then rebroadcasting it, re-speaking it out of my mouth. And as I spoke, the blessing that God revealed to Isaiah would come upon all people who accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, as I spoke it out of my mouth and believed it, I began to believe it. And my attitude began to change. And I began to start seeing that I am at peace with God. I began to start enjoying the blessing of God and the presence of God. You know, the Scripture says in Psalms 35:27, I believe it is, it says, "Let all who favor my righteous cause say continually, let God be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." You have to let God be magnified and bless you and prosper you. You can stop it. You can stop the blessing of God. And I'm telling you that I was stopping the blessing of God by my stinking thinking, by my guilt and condemnation. And when I read things contrary to what I'd been taught in the Word, here's the way I renewed myself and got over it. I took these words and I began to mix them with faith and then speak it out of my mouth. And I prophesied and spoke over myself that you are loved of God. God is not angry with you. He's not going to rebuke you. He's at peace with you. The war is over. That's another series that I've got that goes into this whole thing, a five-part series talking about the war is over. Man, it's powerful. I begin to take these things and speak them over myself. And you know, gradually, I begin to change. And I do need to stress that it is gradual. I don't believe you're going to get this and then by tonight, you are going to be a totally transformed person. You can begin the transformation. There can be a radical change take place in you today. But you know, what I was talking about, where I began to speak these things over myself, this has been 40 years ago. And I'm still learning. I can't say that I've arrived yet. But at least I've left. I hadn't arrived, but I've left. I'm moving in that direction. And I tell you, the grace of God, His love for me, is becoming more real all of the time because I take the Word of God, believe that this is God's spoken favor. It's His blessing. I take it, I mix it with faith, and then I speak over me what God has spoken over me. And when I do that, it has the same supernatural power as God's words when He spoke the worlds into existence. That life is in my tongue, and I release it, and it's working.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled God's Word Equals God's Blessing, free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teachings titled Spirit, Soul, and Body, and The War is Over. These teachings, along with 14 others, are included in Andrew's newest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This book is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, next week for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. In Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. And in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th. He'll also be in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through the 27th. In Charlotte, North Carolina, for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 11th through the 16th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.
I was born with congenital heart disease. The doctors gave up hope on recovery for me. I was turning the TV on one night while I was up taking medication, and there was Andrew teaching on God's kind of love. And he was talking right to me.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Lord said, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your seed may live." The Lord says that there's really only two options. There's life or death, blessing or cursing. Sometimes we think that there's all these other options, but the truth is, really, every decision you make is either moving you closer to God, which is life and blessing, or it's moving you away from God, which is towards death and cursing. And the good news is God gave you that choice.
Well, after listening to Andrew's teachings, I studied the Word night and day, and God spoke to me, and He told me all was healed, all was well, even while I felt miserable, and I just left that identity. I left that sickness, and I'm healed.